Double Take. Critical, sometimes confrontational, but always amusing conversations about movies. Double Take is a Cinema Classics production produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. I'm John DeSando.
I'm Johnny DiLoretto. We don't often talk about foreign films enough, I think, on this show.
Listen, that's exactly what I said in our promo. I said, look, this is a different take for us because usually we concentrate on American cinema.
And, you know, quite frankly, because of the pandemic, I think I've been able to see. It's not that I don't want to watch foreign films.
I know.
I do. It's just time-wise, yeah. You know, I don't get around to it as much as I'd like. Over the course of the pandemic, though, I've been able to watch a lot more films, and I've definitely seen more foreign films this year than I have,
yeah.
Certainly new ones, in years past.
And a lot of the reason that we do American cinema is this is a real strength of yours. That is, the show just really depends on your knowledge of and appreciation of American cinema. I'm very happy with that.
Oh,
but I'm
you.
So glad that you suggested that we look at foreign films.
Yeah.
Because I think we have some good contenders for the Oscar this
year. Yeah, and I think we're going to see, some of these are going to be nominated for Best Foreign Film.
Yeah.
So what do you
got? Well, I think the one that's going to take it. Are you interested in that?
Of course.
Drive My Car. And you haven't seen it.
I have not seen it. I've been dying to see this
movie.
Well,
you don't have 3 hours left in your life to see it.
I might be able to carve that out.
This is a Japanese entry. Yeah. And some are talking about even taking the overall Oscar.
My impression of this movie is that, you know, it's a very talky picture. Lots of... And is it primarily just the two actors?
Well, no. There's a play within the play, Chekhov's Uncle Vanya.
Oh.
In which Hamaguchi expands the short story from which he took this and makes it a parallel to what's happening to our protagonist and the people in his life.
Wow. I did not see that one coming.
Yeah.
Uncle Vanya's worked into this.
Yes,
thing.
And a lot of it has to do with the theme that Sonia at the end of Uncle Vanya says about enduring life, going ahead with things, because our protagonist has suffered the loss of his wife and an uncertainty about his future. And he's helped by the driver in the car, Drive My Car.
Yeah.
Cutest 15-year-old sob you ever saw. Red. It's just great. It's set, I think, figuratively, and Jordan agrees with me, in Hiroshima with obvious metaphorical connotations.
Gotcha.
So anyway, I think while I had others in my mind for Best Foreign Film, wow, this one is colossal.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you seen The Worst Person in the World?
No, but I've got the. I just pulled the disc out, but what I'm waiting is it is coming to the theaters.
Yeah, okay. Good. So
you recommend this?
I do recommend it. I was hesitant at first, but then it slowly pulled me in. It's, you know, it's a Norwegian film, this young woman navigating relationships and her aspirations, professional and otherwise. And the lead is played by Renate Rensva.
Okay.
I'm taking a wild stab at that Norwegian name. She's extremely charming in a very reserved way. Again, this is Norwegian.
Yep.
But it's fun. The movie starts, you know, at first it's kind of like, we've seen this before, right? But then it starts to explore different styles and tones. And it's a bit Woody Allen-esque in some ways.
Good.
In some ways. But yeah, a Norwegian film full of laughs and poignant sort of observations about, you know, what it's like to be a young woman navigating the world.
Good.
Really.
All right.
Yeah.
And so I guess we can put off for a minute, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Titane.
Okay.
And to have a more reasonable film.
Yes, we can put that off for a minute.
in the Hand of God.
Yes. Oh, I love this movie.
Isn't this great?
Yeah, yeah.
Both of us have Italian leanings.
Right.
So that we were going to come to this one right away. Set in Naples. It's the beginning.
Set in Naples in the 80s.
Yep.
Right? It's
exactly.
Sort of director Paolo Sorrentino's reminiscence of his youth growing up in the 80s.
Yeah. Fellini-like in his recollections.
And I guess that's, you know, there's a little bit in the movie where his brother, Paolo's brother, goes to a Fellini audition. That actually happened, I guess. as some of the other things that happen in the film, I don't want to spoil anything, are true.
But that's a great, it's a great example of it. And the brother, who's a handsome fellow, he's actually just to be a an extra. Everybody thinks he's going for a big part. He's just an extra. But Fellini turns him down. Because he's too too classically handsome.
Too classically handsome.
And when you think about Fellini, he wants nothing but grotesques.
Yeah.
And so this guy.
Well, you know, what's really fascinating about this movie is there's this through line, right, of Paolo. I guess it is Paolo. No, it's Fabietto.
You are right? Fabietto, who is clearly clearly Pablo.
Yeah, yeah.
Paolo,
Fabietto,
rather.
The kid.
Yeah.
He has this... you know, this unhealthy lust for his aunt Patrizia, played by the beautiful Luisa Ranieri.
Oh,
but that is a weird. It's a weird vibe going on in that movie, right? Where him and his brother are all like they all desire their aunt.
Well, don't you think that it does represent teenage lust and its absurdity?
Yeah.
And secondly, that it is, as you would say, it is a through line about some of the insanity of his relatives and others that we know well. I know well. I mean, we often in my family had feasts on a Sunday with weird characters from our family that
right,
I love.
For sure, yeah.
You know, so I think that she does represent more. Yeah, you think you're right. She's odd.
There's a spectrum of these people, these characters that come in and out of his life. You know, first of all, he has a beautiful... I love the relationship between his mom and his dad.
Oh, boy.
And, there's that beautiful shot of them all three riding his scooter.
Oh, together, you know? Yeah. This.
There's some pain there. You know, I don't want to spoil anything.
No, but, when he's 16, he has a life-changing event.
Yeah. And that was true.
Yes,
exactly how it played out in Sorrentino's life. Anyway, beautiful movie. I love the pace and the feel of this movie. It's very place and time specific. You know, it brings you back to that world. I've never been to 1980s Naples, but it seems
a
wonderful place to visit.
It is photographed so beautifully. It's on my bucket list.
Yeah. For me, this was the most enjoyable foreign film I've seen all year.
Well, and I have to agree with you. Yeah. It's the one I come to. If I hadn't seen Drive My Car, I would say maybe this would actually take it.
Yeah.
But I see why. But for me, just the way I'm attached to it, the way I feel lyrically about it, the hand of God is to me really the one that's most outstanding. Yes, and
agreed.
I'm with you.
Agreed.
All right, now, Titane. You got me to see Titane.
Or as it's pronounced in French, Titan.
Oh, it is Titan.
Yeah,
okay.
Titan.
I'm thinking of the titanium.
Yeah.
That's why.
Well, that's probably what it
is. I don't know.
You don't,
because
you
I wasn't smart enough to go into YouTube to hear somebody pronounce it.
Yeah, well, I did.
Okay, and... They're pronouncing
English language interviews with Julia Dorcano pronounce it Titan.
Ooh, okay. So Titan. So you made me see this, and I'm really appreciative because I would have never elected it on my own.
Yeah.
It is perhaps the most disturbing film we have seen all year.
For sure. Well, disturbing. Yeah, no, it is violently disturbing. This is what I love. I think Dorcano has only made two films now, the other one
Raw?
Which is Raw.
Yeah.
And both of these films, at certain junctures, Raw more so than Titan, she is throwing down some kind of gauntlet in front of you. Like, she, you know, builds these moments of grotesque brutality in her films and dares you to look away. But it's not like a horror film, you know, where you kind of cover your eyes and look. I feel like she's personally challenging me to watch some of these things. I cannot turn away from them, but there are stomach-churning moments in these films. And it's all, though, in service of revealing a humanity or bringing you in touch, getting you back in touch with a certain notion of what it means to be in a family, what it means to love someone, what it means to have a responsibility to somebody you're beholden to, right? And she brings you back to these things via the circuitous kind of insane route, right? Which is what Titan is all about.
Sure. Yeah. And she, I just to kind of summarize what you were saying, we need somebody. We all need somebody. And when you have the guy, the dad in here, who will take anybody for his son, who happens to be this transformed assassin,
right?
It's a great notion about how the lengths to which we will go to be loved.
For sure, exactly. And what it is, what love is,
yes,
right? That was the thing that really sold me on the movie, is that, first of all, I think everybody should know the movie is half serial killer movie,
yeah,
half this familial relationship,
yeah,
movie. But at the end, this guy comes to love her, and it doesn't matter what she is. It doesn't matter what her gender is, what role in his life she's playing. He comes to love her because of what they give each other. It's a beautiful movie. Okay, so if you want to hear the rest of this conversation, head on over to WCBE.org and find us on the podcast experience page. You can listen to the full conversation there on Double Take. You're listening to Double Take, critical, sometimes confrontational, always conversations about movies. We're talking about this year's foreign films. And
well, we're still on Titan.
Yeah,
Titan. And remember, this won the Palme d'Or.
It did.
Holy.
What a surprise that was.
I can't believe it.
And I think, you know, that's a great sort of thing to think about, too. What wins the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival, and what might win Best Foreign Film in the Oscars? Probably not this movie.
Probably
about
not.
A serial killer who poses as a firefighter's missing son.
Yes.
You know,
straps her breasts down and shaves her head.
And breaks her nose against a bathroom sink in order to.
Yes. But I'll tell you, and I have to say this because I think it may draw people to see it. When did you ever see a heroine or hero, however you want to call her, make love to an automobile?
Yes, right. Well, you know, I was thinking about this, and I don't know if you'll remember Ridley Scott's The Counselor.
Oh.
With Charlize, or not Charlize, it's Cameron Diaz.
Ah.
And she makes love to Javier Bardem's windshield. Do you remember
that? Yeah, I do remember that. Yes, very
so
good.
So it did bring,
very,
it did call back.
But I don't think to the extent that Duke Arnault.
Well, yes, she gets pregnant in Titan.
And then in the end with the motor oil?
Yeah, motor oil seeping out of her breasts. Yeah, see, I love this movie.
No.
I love the movie for the textures in your brain it creates, you know,
yes, yeah.
and the juxtapositions. It's a really amazing little film.
Well, we had a couple of films that neither one that we haven't seen of the other,
yeah.
But the one that I just saw and I'd like to recommend to you, if it ever comes to the theaters, and I don't know when it will, Flea.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the animated.
Yeah, the animated. And you've got it. You have
it. I do
have
it.
In the neon, I think.
Yeah.
And this is unusual for me to like an animation that's really a serious business. It's a bio of a family, and especially the gay son,
okay,
back in Iran, and they're trying to escape the Taliban.
All right. This is a documentary? Is it?
It is. Well, that's a good question. It's a docu-animation, I call it.
Okay.
It's an animation. It's a true story. And there is nothing in that story that is new to you or me or anybody else who's aware of the world situation.
Okay.
Of people fleeing from tyrants. And they're trying to get across over to... I think eventually they end up in Denmark. It's a Danish film, but he's in Copenhagen at the very end of the film. But what he goes through and what he goes through with his family, paying these merchants to get them on not seaworthy boats to get across,
yeah,
and the conditions. It's not disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
It's just harrowing. And you at every point you say, I see now the difficulty. And so much of it is being separated from your own family.
Yeah.
That's the toughest part. And then coming out to his family is not a big part of the film, but it is an important thing for that culture because this is anathema.
Yeah.
You know,
right. No, I mean, yeah.
So it's called Flea, and it is about fleeing. And it is strange because it does have color, but it has more of a flat earth tones to me.
And this seems to be a new development in documentary filmmaking. Anyway, this this wedding of animation and and it certainly allows for a character like this, a subject, to be a little more free, right? Because you can't, he can't show his face. Is that part of it or no?
No, he can. Okay. But what you're not getting all the distracting nuances of human beings. It's flat because I think it's a story to be told and a story to be appreciated and for us to fill in the emotional corners of this film. And yet, at the same time, it's not an insult to our intelligence to put it in an animation form.
Yeah.
It's just it accentuates the subject to me rather than the people. And while I'm feeling for him, it's not the way I would feel for a flesh and blood character. Mm. I'm feeling for him because of the idea of all these people who are displaced. Okay, so it's really good.
Okay.
It's unlike our Drive My Car. It's only an hour and a half.
Gotcha.
So it's half that.
Okay, so I'll have to see that. All right, good. What about Petite Maman?
You know,
Have you seen this yet?
I loaned it to someone.
Oh, jeez.
I know.
And I got to lend it to
you. I know you do.
This was, you know, maybe for me, it's right up there with my favorite films of the year. It's so tonally and stylistically and thematically, well, I don't know so much about thematically different from Hand of God or Titan even, but it's certainly stylistically different. This is a very small movie. There's only a handful of characters, maybe four or five people we meet in the movie. it's French. It was directed by Celine Sciamma.
Okay.
And essentially, this little girl and her mom, you meet them in a nursing home. They're tending to the grandma, the recently deceased grandmother's things. They're packing up her room. And the little girl goes from room to room to all the tenants in the nursing home and says, au revoir, au revoir. She's making sure she says goodbye to everybody, which becomes very important later. But anyway, her and the mom, they go off to the grandmother's house again to tend to business. And that's it. The little girl wanders off into the woods to play, and she meets another little girl.
That's right, yes.
Who looks stunningly similar to
herself.
Oh,
yeah, good one.
And without spoiling anything, they become extraordinarily close in a very short span of time, and the whole thing just unfolds in this beautifully lyrical, quiet way. In some regards, overwhelmingly powerful at the end, but a really lovely, sweet little film that if that won Best Foreign Film, we'd be in
good shape. I had, and we'll see this afternoon.
Okay.
A Hero.
Oh, all right.
Okay, this is Iranian, and it apparently has a lot to do with media, social media.
Okay.
In which he does a good act. He has come out. He has come out of jail because he had a debt. He had to spend 2 years. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
How ancient that is, that you go to jail because you have a debt. But anyway, he gets out.
Wow.
He does a good thing,
mm-hmm.
and mentions it, so it gets on social media, and it actually is counterproductive to him.
Okay.
It causes him a lot of trouble. And so I'm really looking forward to this. I've had such very good things that I've heard about it that I can't think of another other than Parallel Mothers.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I didn't see that one.
Not even either. And that's with Penelope Cruz, right?
Yeah, is that an Almodovar film?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and in fact, there's a big article in the New York Times. I haven't read it this Sunday on her relationship with Almodovar.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you a question about foreign films. Number one, do they have to be in a different language in order to be a foreign film? In other words. Now, I know we don't necessarily consider British films foreign language films, or they don't qualify as foreign film pictures. Mm. So it's the language. I'm curious because I was wondering if Bergman Island would qualify as a foreign film.
Oh.
Even though it's English speaking.
Yeah, boy, I don't know that. And it some of it depends on where it was filmed. Some of it depends on how much exposure it's had here, where it has its residency here.
Yeah.
Yeah. As we were talking about before we broadcast, some of this stuff, I guess I don't really know the rules about.
Yeah, it's weird, right? I mean, yeah. I feel like after all these years, we would know that. But
yeah.
Anyway, it feels like a foreign film, Bergman Island. I don't know if you saw that one.
I didn't.
I mean, so much of it depends on the films of Ingmar Bergman, who obviously was the great Swedish filmmaker. And it takes place there. It's all shot there. But it's, you know.
I think you're safe in saying if it's in another language. But yeah, you can dub it. And then what do you have?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
So it could be look like it's in English. So
just curious.
We're gonna, we will find this out maybe with the upcoming Oscars, which are on March 27th.
March 27th. Okay. Yeah. So before we go, before we wrap up, what is your favorite foreign film of the year? If you had to whittle it down to one.
Yes, my favorite, which I don't want to confuse this with saying this is the one that's going to get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the Italian The Hand of God?
Yeah. Just so I don't say the same thing as you, I will say the best foreign film of the year was Petite Maman.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
And so we'll...
There you go. I mean, what else do you want from us? We just gave you the whole rundown of all the foreign films that you should run out and see.